It's that time again. Wildcat Wednesday is back on the Bear Down podcast. Today's episode features Arizona track and field junior Esther Kinlasotu, Arizona soccer redshirt freshman Sophia Cortez Brown, and Arizona baseball seniors Garen Caulfield and Tommy Splain. We're starting this episode off with the 2025 recipient of the McLendon Foundation's Fiesta Bowl Scholarship, Esther Kinlasotu. Esther, first of all, thank you for taking the time to join us on Wildcat Wednesday today, and congratulations on the Fiesta Bowl scholarship.
Thank you.
So when did you first hear about this scholarship and what was the application process like?
So I first heard about the scholarship, I think, in February or March. My academic advisor, Kendrick, actually sent it to me and he was like, hey, like, I think you'd be a great applicant for this, like apply and see what happens. And then after taking a look at the scholarship and who McLendon Foundation was just all about, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm really interested in about this. And it actually fits my major and my goals after college. So I was like, why not apply?
Yeah. And so you just graduated in 3 years with your major. You got your undergraduate in management of information sciences. First of all, what's your secret to balancing athletics and academics and doing this within 3 years?
Yeah. My calendar. Honestly, that's been like my saving grace the last 3 years. And honestly, like using all the resources, like I was using the CATS tutoring center like the last 3 years. I was studying there, I was getting tutoring there. And then also I've also been working while going through school. So I don't know how I do it, but like just my coach support and then also like academic support is just how I get it done.
Yeah, because you're super involved too. You mentioned working and you were just recently interning with Worldwide Technology. Can you tell us a little bit about your role with that corporation?
Yeah, so for the last 2 years, I've been working as a project management intern where I basically just do project startups and internal data for our employees. And it's been a really awesome opportunity. And then this current summer, I will be working as a solutions consulting and engineering intern. So my role's changing up a little bit. This time I'll be working a little bit more with data science. And that just fits my passions and my major as well.
Yeah, tell us more about your major. What sparked your interest in management of information sciences?
Yeah, I kind of just did the process of elimination when looking at business majors. I knew I wanted to be a business person, but I was like, I'm not really interested in accounting or economics. But then MIS kind of fit my passion for computer science and analytics because like I just love building dashboards for people and saying, hey, like this is a really cool visual and this is how I got it. And like, this is how you can use this information to grow your company.
Gotcha. And what are your plans for graduate school?
So for graduate school, I'll be getting my master's in management information systems again. I was like, why not master it? And then after that, I'm going to have my concentration in security assurance. And after that, I don't know, the ball's in my court.
Okay. Right now, I know this is always a big question, but right now, what's the dream job for you?
Ooh, I'm not sure yet. I don't know. I feel like it could be anything, any industry, like the McLendon Foundation. I'll be working with them to, you know, look into sports data and sports administration for the next year. So I think that might spark my interest into working further in the sports industry and kind of see where that takes me.
Very cool. And recently, just a couple months ago, CATS Academics hosted a career fair for all athletes at the U of A. And part of that was a panel of a lot of former athletes who are super successful in various careers, just offering advice. But you were also on that panel, which is super cool. I think it's just a testament to all that you've accomplished during your time as a student, but also in your career hunt. And you were offering some great advice. But for those listening to the podcast, I was wondering what you feel like your best piece of advice is for anyone in just the job hunt.
Thank you. I would say be intentional and document what you're applying for. I think that if you're applying to many jobs at once, it's easier to say like, oh, I already did this, or I already said this, but you can make the process easier if you keep all your applications in one document and take from each thing that you've written and apply that to each role. And then also doing your research on these companies. I can't tell you how many interviewers said like, oh, I can tell you did your research. And it's like, it's just the little things about looking at a company's values or looking at like their company data, seeing like what awards or things that they've accomplished in the last year, because it just shows that you're paying attention.
No, that's great advice. That's, yeah, making it personal, all of that.
Right.
I like that. Let's talk track and field now because you're currently at
Yes.
College Station. So again, taking time to hop on real quick.
No problem.
But yeah, you're at NCAA regionals. So you guys got there earlier this week and competition
Yes.
starts soon. And you, when you first came to the U of A, focus was in triple jump. You also were doing some sprints. And I know
Yep.
recently you made more of a transition to focus on sprints. So what all went into that decision for you this season?
Yeah, so last year, actually around I think February or March, that seems to be like the prime month for getting information. The head coach pulled me aside and he was like, "I see a path for you as a sprinter, and I want you to kind of explore that." And then after my previous coach took an opportunity in Texas for another head coach position, I was like, "Okay, well, let me make this transition and see where it takes me." And honestly, it's been a blessing. This indoor season, I went through an injury, and so I sat indoor out. But for the spring season, I mean, I ran a lot faster than I did before, and I've been helping my team, and obviously it's brought me to College Station for regionals. So I'm grateful, and I don't know, I kind of took a leap of faith.
No, it's super cool. I remember talking to you earlier this fall about just that whole decision too, and so it's great to see it pan out. Have you guys been able
Yes.
to do anything fun in College Station since arriving?
Since arriving, we my teammates went to dinner last night. I didn't join them. I was a little tired. For context, you know, we left at 3:30 a.m. That's when our travel day began, and they went to dinner at 7 p.m. And I was like, I can't. I need to go sleep. So, really long travel day, but today and tomorrow, we're hoping to keep the energy going and, you know, do a couple more team activities and just get the hype going.
I love it. And last week it was announced that Fred Harvey will be stepping down for retirement after 38 years with
Yes.
Arizona. What can you say about just the legacy that he leaves behind?
Oh my gosh. I love Coach Harvey. And honestly, it was a shock to me when he announced he was retiring because I was like, wow. But he's just one of the most intentional coaches I've ever met. Like you can ask him about any of the athletes on our team, and he'll be able to tell you a little story about them and even his former athletes. And I think that just speaks to how much he pays attention and how much he cares about his athletes. And I mean, even on a personal level, when we went to the Bahamas, I believe in 2023, he took his whole family with him. And it was just so fun seeing like, man, this man cares about his family, he cares about his team. Like, he's just an overall well-rounded person, and he's just going to be missed so much.
No, he will be. And wanted to close out with just a couple fun questions for you. So, do you have a pre-meet routine?
I guess I do. My pre-meet routine, I always listen to the Homecoming Live album by Beyoncé. That was the concert she did at Coachella a couple of years ago. It's just so hype. You can hear the audience, and I don't know, it just gets me ready and in the competition mindset. And then other than that, I think everything else just kind of comes with the music, and I just kind of go from there. But without me listening to that album, I just know that things aren't right.
I love it. And
Yeah.
then I took a page out of your book and I was doing a little research on you before this, and I read somewhere that you like international TV shows. Do you have any recommendations?
Let's see. The last international TV show I was watching was What's Wrong with Secretary Kim. It's kind of like a business, international romance show. So it kind of lets you see both sides of like the CEO and then also just like how to run a company, and how much your employees pay attention with the side of romance. So
I like it. We get a little fun and a little information in there.
exactly.
Well, thanks so much for your time today, Esther, and hopping
Of
on.
course.
And good luck this week. We'll be watching you guys and cheering you on.
Thank you.
This week, three members of Arizona Soccer are representing their countries at the U20 World Cup qualifiers in Costa Rica. Assistant coach Nat Gonzalez will be serving as the head coach of Team Puerto Rico. Sophomore Aurora Gaines will be a member of his squad. And redshirt freshman Sophia Cortez Brown will be competing with Team Canada. We'll hear from Sophia now. Sophia, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so you're currently in Costa Rica competing with Team Canada in the U20 World Cup qualifiers. And I saw that you've been competing with your national team for a few years now. So I wanted to start there. What has this whole process been like, starting from when you were younger to work to compete with your national team and earn a spot with them?
Yeah, I mean, the journey has definitely not been like the easiest. I first started with the youth program, like the Youth Canadian program, when I was 14, and I moved away from my home to move 4 hours away and lived with a billet family. And from there, it's like a youth system that helps bring you up into the national team system. And I got my first call up in 2021 with the U17s. We first went to Mexico and it was just like a camp. And then I actually didn't get invited back into any other camps or tournaments until March of 2024 for my first U20s, and I would have been an underager for that. So I was really nervous. It had been like maybe 2 or 3 years since I played with them again. So it was definitely an accomplishment for me, and being able to play in Germany with a bunch of new girls was definitely like a challenge. So then after that, I started my season at Arizona and I got called in to play in the World Cup in Colombia. So that was like an amazing accomplishment, and it was just something I was so proud of. So being an underager for that, it was just a great experience. And then I was fortunate to get called up again. So this will be my cycle for U20s. And we went to Trinidad in February. That was awesome. And then this is like the CONCACAF to qualify for the World Cup. So
Wow. Okay. So going back to when you were 14 and moved away from home, was that a full year of living away from home, or was it just for a season of training?
oh, like I lived in like away from home for three years after that to finish my high school. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. And so what were the emotions like this time around getting called up again to compete with the team?
It's definitely something to be proud of. Like anytime you get to represent your country, it's going to be an honor. And I'm just like so happy to be here and be a part of this squad. It's awesome to be learning from like new players, and I'll have the same coach as last cycle, but it's great to see like some familiar faces and get to know some new people as well.
For those who aren't as familiar with CONCACAF and just the qualifying and how that works, could you talk about how these games and kind of the round robin style works this week for you guys, and ultimately what the goal looks like to qualify for the World Cup later?
Yep. So for us, we have two groups. So Group A and Group B. We're in Group B, and we'll be playing against Mexico, Nicaragua, and Panama. And then one of my teammates on Arizona, her name is Aurora. She's playing for Costa Rica, and so is the goalie coach. So there's a chance that we might play each other in semifinals or in finals. And so the top two from each group will qualify for the World Cup. But then there will be like a final and semifinal to see who is like the winner of CONCACAF, basically. So both groups will play each other at the end of this.
Nice. Okay. And you mentioned it before, just getting called up after coming to Arizona too, this last year being your freshman year. But what does that balance look like of being on an international team and competing with them and also competing here at Arizona?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was definitely difficult my first year. Like, with Arizona, I think it was definitely like a lot of new things were happening at once. Like I had just moved in, like I found out the week that I got to Arizona. It was so exciting. But also then having to manage like my schoolwork and like still having to get to know like my teammates in Arizona, and like the balance of everything was pretty difficult because the tournament was in September. So then I missed the first half of my season at Arizona, which was a little, it was disappointing. I would have liked to be there for the first half of it, but we came back for the second half and it was nice to kind of feel like at home again.
Yeah, what has your journey looked like in coming to Arizona, being from Canada? What sparked your interest in just coming to the school and ultimately solidify that decision to come here?
Yeah, I mean, definitely like the environment, the heat, the players, the coaches, like everyone is so nice and welcoming, and I think that's what really it made me feel at home even when I wasn't here, and that's definitely something that I was looking for. Also having the support from my coaches, they wanted the best for me, and that also included like playing internationally and supporting my dreams of going further there.
And you mentioned earlier too a couple of the countries you've been able to go and compete in. What has been your favorite trip or favorite place that you've gotten to play?
I really love Germany. It was beautiful. Like it was so pretty. But Colombia, like the experience was just like amazing. I think Colombia or Germany was probably one of my favorite places to go. Yeah.
Yeah. How does the environment in these countries compare to just here in the US? Just I played soccer, and so playing with girls from different countries in college, that was always something they mentioned as just the fandom in other countries is just another level.
I think in South America for sure, it's definitely, soccer is a really big deal. And so when we went to Colombia, like the amount of fans and media representation for the U20s World Cup was amazing. Like seeing the amount of like men and women and like younger generations aspiring for the same the same goals. I think it was just an amazing experience to see that like it's the game is growing and it's not just like a just women's sport, like men watch it too, and young people aspire to get where we are.
That's so cool, yeah. And I wanted to ask too, being a goalie, I just feel like that's such a unique position. I feel like you have to have a different mindset going into that. Were you always a goalie? When did you decide when you were younger that you were interested in that position?
Yeah, I'd always loved playing goalie, and I had been both goalkeeper, and I played out when I was with my club team. And then when I moved away is when I like decided, okay, like I'm gonna be a goalie now. Like that was my position, and I decided I was just gonna try and be the best that I can be at that.
Yeah, it takes such dedication because I being a soccer player, like I think a lot of people don't know, you guys train a lot more individually as goalies, especially when you're younger, just having to do so many more individualized training sessions and everything. So always had such respect for you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's fun. I think being goalies, people always think you have to be crazy, or you have to, well, you do have to be a little bit crazy to play in that, but I think it's so fun. Like just the group, you have something special with those two or three people that you're playing with, and you understand each other. So, like the goalkeepers group here in Arizona, like we have such good connections, and I think that's really what helps me play at my best. So that's also really good.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And you guys control the game too. You guys
Yeah.
are that voice in the back. Okay, wanted to end with a couple of fun questions. Do you have any superstitions?
Well, here at camp, one of our superstitions is always having pancakes on game days. So we'll always have pancakes on game days, and that's probably something I've taken with me, like just always making sure I have a good breakfast, whether like something sweet before I play. That's probably one of my superstitions.
That's fun. What is your go-to post-game meal?
Like McDonald's or like Raising Cane's or something. I feel like you need to treat yourself after a game. Yeah, probably
Oh
that.
yeah. And then what's your favorite recovery method? Like cold tub, massage? What are you asking for usually?
So I hate the cold tub. If I have to, like I will, but I would definitely not do that on my own. I'll find different ways to recover. Probably stretching or just rolling out.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for hopping on today, Sophia, and good luck this week.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Arizona baseball captured the Big 12 baseball tournament championship this weekend with dominating performances on both sides of the ball. Seniors Garin Caulfield and Tommy Splaine joined the podcast to reflect on some of the biggest moments from the weekend. Tommy, Garin, thank you guys for being on Wildcat Wednesday and congratulations on the Big 12 baseball championship title. That's what we want to talk about today. There were a lot of big moments this weekend, and so I kind of want to walk through those with you guys. But first question is there a moment from the weekend on or off the field that sticks out the most to you? Garin, I'll start with you.
I think for me, it was probably watching Mason's game on Saturday. He absolutely carried us, and I think that game he had, and then Tony Pluta closing it down in the 10th on Saturday was pretty special. So it was exciting to watch my teammates do well in those games, and I'd say those are the highlights.
Tommy.
Yeah, I'd say the highlight for me was just honestly the starting pitching all weekend. I mean, every guy that went out there was just kind of lights out for us. And then also kind of just, I mean, I'm going with Garen, Pluta. I mean, he was lights out too. Whenever he's out there, we just have full trust in him, and just kind of seeing him do his thing was kind of awesome.
Yeah, let's start with that pitching. Just clutch all weekend, 3 runs, 28 innings, I think it was. What can you say about just the performance they put together, especially the starters too? I know you guys talked about Paluda, but also Owen, then Raul, and then Smith.
Yeah, I think the number one thing I saw in common with all three of those guys is just their confidence, man. It projects out onto the field to everyone else, and you can feel it in the dugout when we're hitting it, when we're hitting and everything. And just seeing them up there confident, trusting their stuff, attacking the guys, it makes it a lot easier to play defense out there. And if it was a pretty special weekend for them and the program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what much, much more to say about that. But yeah, I mean, just being fully convicted with everything they were throwing, and yeah, just fully confident. That was the biggest thing we noticed. And I mean, yeah, every pitch they threw, I guess was just marginal. So yeah.
And then Thursday morning, early game against BYU. I want to talk about the back-to-back homers for Mason and Adonis, opposite foul poles. How wild was that moment?
Yeah, that was wild. That's another moment that baseball reminds you how crazy the game is. I think I've been playing this game for almost 20-ish years now, and I've never seen anything like that. I could tell you that. That was fun, and definitely brought a bunch of energy to the dugout. It translated for the rest of the weekend, so it's cool.
Anything you see?
No, yeah, I was gonna say definitely. Like, I mean, it was huge for us to start that way in the tournament. It definitely gave us some energy and some life. But yeah, I mean, something I've never seen before. It's hard to find one foul pole in a game, but let alone two and back to back. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then, Garen, you talked about it, but Mason White, Friday's game against West Virginia, 2 home runs, 6 RBI. What is it about him that allows him to show up big time in those big time games?
Yeah, I think it's just the product of the work that he puts in off the field and trust in his game and his swing. And that was a, I mean, we've seen it before. We saw former Wildcat Nick McCleary tweeting about him in the postseason, and it's true. Mason has great postseasons, and when he gets hot, he can really get going and carry teams. So excited for him.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it's just his preparation, and then big players come up in big games. So I wouldn't say you would expect that from him, but yeah, I mean, he's just a great player, so he can do that whenever he really wants. So yeah, I mean, it's just something that was yeah, big for us.
And then championship game, TCU, Andrew Kane solo shot home run to tie it up, send it to over or extra innings. What was the reaction in the dugout?
I mean, I think the videos did it justice. We were all pretty excited. We had full trust that we were going to come back in that game, and it was very similar to last year's Pac-12 tournament final. And I couldn't be happier for any individual than I am for Andrew Kane after he had that swing that had to be the biggest swing of his life and one he'll remember for the rest of his life. So I'm excited that he was the one to do it as a Tucson native and get us back in that game, and ultimately set us up to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I was on deck going up to hit, so it was a little different. But I mean, I was just trying to stay as calm as I can because I knew, it was tied and there was a lot more game left. But I mean, I was pumped up, and then watching him run in the dugout and also seeing the video after. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it kind of does its own justice with the video, but it looked pretty crazy.
And then this is the second consecutive conference tournament championship title that you guys have won, having won the Pac-12 tournament last year. Are there any similarities when you compare last year's run to this year's run?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some similarities, and definitely some differences too. This is a completely different team, but I think getting out on the road and really bonding together on the road and just treating every game one game at a time is how we have success in those kind of formats. And we're looking to do that here in Eugene this weekend.
Yeah, I'd say the championship game was pretty similar to last year in some ways. We were down and weren't hitting too well, early in the game, and then came back late. So I'd say just, a big thing is, we have trust within our, a team, and 1 through 9, and the pitchers as well. And a big part of that's just having, experience, and that's a big thing. So yeah.
And then I know they talked a lot about it this weekend. Anyone who's watching saw it on social media, they saw it too. But the bananas, the water cups, that was something that carried over from last season as well. What's behind that?
Honestly, I don't know. You'd have to ask the guys from last year. That seems to be the common question from all the media. We credit Tonko Susak and Clark Candiotti and, even guys like Dawson Nets behind that. So you're going to have to ask him about that. But, no, we needed something to bring the whole team together after that Friday night in Houston. I think, we're going to keep rolling with what we got right now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with him. I'm not really sure exactly what it is too much, but it's just, you know, the bananas itself, you know, have brought a success. So I think, you know, we're just going to ride with it and keep going.
Who brings the bananas?
I don't even know. I think maybe our director of operations, Ella Walters, is behind that. But every time we show up in the dugout, there's probably more bananas than there is water. So, yeah, I don't expect that to change. And we're looking forward to continuing that in Eugene.
Yeah, I'm hearing we got like 80 to 100 a game. So, yeah, but it's credit to Ella. So, yeah.
And then that championship game against TCU, it looked like they had a home field-like advantage, just, you know, being local and everything. Was the energy in the dugout a way that you guys were able to combat that?
Yeah, and I would even yes, it was in their backyard, and it felt like a away game for sure out there on the field. But I give credit to our families and whoever we had on the ticket list, because it might have felt like 10 people, but we could hear them, and you know, just to have some support up there and not be a complete road game was nice. So credit to Wildcat Nation for making the trip out there, and thanks to everyone for coming and supporting us.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely feel our fans, even though it was, you know, in their backyard and basically a home game for them, but yeah, I mean, you could feel all the support and everyone behind us, and especially everyone in the dugout, you know, and that helped a ton. Mm-hmm.
And then found out just an hour ago that you guys are headed to Eugene for that regional. What needs to carry over from this past weekend to this next weekend?
Yeah, I think just some of the things that we've talked about that are bringing us together as a team, you know, so we're not divided at all. And I think we just need to go out there and treat it like any other game. It's, you know, it's not overemphasize the importance of one game and it being the postseason now. I think we just need to treat it as any other game and just focus on winning every pitch and bring good energy to the yard every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, I just completely agree with Garrett on that, but I'd say just bringing the confidence still and you know, just kind of just coming here every day with the same work ethic. And you know, I'd say having that championship game was kind of pretty big for us, because kind of had that regional feeling and building off that. So yeah.
Well, best of luck this weekend, guys. We'll be cheering y'all on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's a wrap on this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Bear down and go Cats.